This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, this is the kind of show I think that if Blue Mike wanted to advertise on the Paracast, it'd be perfect because I always run to people who are using some kind of Blue Mike. I've got a Yeti Pro here, but I'm using the Shure SM58. Randall has a Blue Snowball. Our guest this week, Ben Radford, has a Blue Yeti, which is one of the best mics on the planet for professional use. I mean, really good, a little bit flaky, but we run into so many people who have the Blue mics. Interesting indeed. In any case, let's talk about last week's episode with Kurt Collins. And he has a site called The Saucers That Time Forgot. Very, very emphasis, great emphasis on pop culture. In fact, the avatar he uses in our forums and on Facebook is one of the alien creatures from the movie Earth versus the flying saucers. Ben Radford, I know you're not old enough to have been old enough when that movie came out in the 50s. Do you remember Earth versus the flying saucers?
I saw it, obviously, as you said, not at the time, but I am a fan of film, and I do remember I was in a phase, I think, in my late teens when I sort of rediscovered the 50s and 60s sci-fis, and I do remember that one, yes.
Of course, the irony here is that they licensed one of Major Donald Keyhoe's books, and I guess he didn't understand how Hollywood works. So when it came out to be a sci-fi film with maybe 30 seconds at the beginning talking about UFOs, he was embarrassed. But that film was a low-budget film featuring the special effects from Ray Harryhausen.
The great Ray Harryhausen, yes.
Stop-motion animation, totally, totally fabulous special effects. In fact, you find few sci-fi films from any era that matched it. I mean, the work is incredible because, you know, what is it, 24 frames a second, every single frame has to be photographed separately, and the movement has to be smooth and fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes a genius. Now, of course, you just run the CGI app on your computer. But then, anyway. So that's all we did, and I was thinking about that. We also got into kind of superhero stuff. And if you haven't had a chance, there's a new network here in the U.S., I don't know what Randall has in Canada, called HBO Max, which includes the DC network, and there's a show called Doom Patrol, kind of an R-rated series about haphazard superheroes. Ever hear of it, Ben?
I have heard Doom Patrol. I used to read the comic books, but I have not seen the series.
Let's just put it this way. There's one actress there, Diane Guerrero, and I hope I have her name pronounced correctly. She plays a character, a metahuman, with 64 different distinct personalities. Imagine getting that right.
That doesn't sound like a superpower to me. That sounds like a liability.
She's got super strength and stuff on some of those characters.
Oh, okay. All right.
The woman portraying someone with that many distinct personalities, she's amazing. Now, forget, you know, you have people like Brendan Fraser and Matt Bomer and occasional appearances by Timothy Dalton. But she is the star. I mean, I've never seen anyone do what she can do. It's incredible. So it's worth watching, even if you get the 7-day free trial or something. In the U.S., HBO is completely confused. Some people get it with their HBO subscriptions on their cable system. Some don't. Some get it as a replacement for HBO Go. It's not yet on Roku, I don't think. Don't ask me to explain any of this. None of it makes sense in terms of marketing. But that is worth binging on a 7-day trial, and maybe you'll want to keep it. But it's flaky otherwise. But it's definitely worth it. Anyway, I don't know why we started with this, except, of course, that Ben was into comic books. What about the superhero stuff now? Do you take note of it?
I don't as much as I used to. In my teens and early 20s, I was an avid comic book collector and Dungeons and Dragons player and all that. Unfortunately, as sort of career and life and degrees and book writing and other adultish things have emerged, I've had less and less time for that. But I'm still a fan of the genre.
I like the fact that there are some shows they're still being done are really good. I like the CW. In fact, the people who produce the Arrowverse, quote-unquote, shows on CW, they're behind Doom Patrol. Greg Berlanti is the main producer, and several of the other people involved in Supergirl and Arrow did this show. But this show can't be on commercial TV because every third word is a four-letter word, especially from Brendan Fraser's character, where he plays a guy in an old-fashioned robot suit. Then all that's left from an accident is his brain put inside this robot suit. And he inhabits it brilliantly. I mean, I didn't think of him as much of an actor until I heard the show. He's really good.
Yeah, he was good in the Mummy films, and I guess he was in Encino Man, some of the other ones. But yeah, he's always struck me as a serviceable actor. Not stellar, not bad, but he sounds intriguing in this one, new one. I'll check it out.
Definitely, you don't see his face, except occasionally. So he has to act behind the mask, as they say. Matt Bomer has to do that also for most of the show. He also sings very well. Didn't know that, but he also does a singing routine on this. In any case, let's get to other pop stuff. And the pop culture of today is, of course, the To the Stars Academy and a certain rock front man. And all that stuff. But the big one, of course, is the Navy supposedly taking UFOs seriously. The New York Times, the Washington Post, Politico. What's your reaction to that, Ben?
Well, you're talking about the recently released Navy Pentagon or recently verified ones.
Totally.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, as you mentioned, in April, the Pentagon basically declassified three U.S. Navy videos. And it was curious because they were described online and in news reports as being, you know, newly released. Well, in fact, they'd been around for years. I'd seen these, you know, some of them were back in 2007 and 2017, 2018. The air quotes news part about it was that they were declassified by the Pentagon, U.S. Navy. The idea being that they were, these videos that had been circulating again in some cases for many years were authenticated as, you know, basically the Navy was admitting, yes, in fact, these are our videos, which was pretty widely believed anyway. I mean, I don't think anybody really thought, oh, these are fake videos, you know. That was interesting, and just sort of seeing the public's reaction to them. As I recall, the Navy spokesperson sort of released it saying, okay, well, we want to clear up any misconceptions about it. But, of course, it did nothing of the sort, because all of a sudden you have people going around and talking about, what are these videos showing? I looked into them a little bit. The UFOs are not my main bailiwick. I do lots of other stuff, monsters and chupacabras and ghosts and things like that. I do some stuff in the UFO realm. But I did happen to come across some analyses of these. A lot of really good ones were done by my colleague Mick West on his website Metabunk. And he's far more informed than I am, and he did a really good breakdown of each of these videos. So if people are interested in sort of the nitty-gritty details, he does that. So when I saw these, there were a couple of things that were sort of going on. One was I saw people saying that, well, that the fact that the objects appeared both visually and on instrumentation meant that it was a so-called real UFO. Well, of course, all UFO means is unidentified flying object. That's just something in the sky that somebody, for whatever reason, under the conditions of the time, can't immediately identify. There's nothing inherently mysterious about UFO. It's just something someone doesn't know what it is. UFOs by themselves are common. The question, of course, is not is there something in the sky? Because there's all sorts of things in the sky. The question is this some sort of extraterrestrial craft, or if there's some reason to think that it's something unusual?
You know what's unusual? These announcements. Then Ben Radford will talk further about the Naples UFO photos, the gun camera photos, and more. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only
$6. Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Back with Ben Radford. We left when he was talking about those photos, looking at them and He says, sure, UFOs, and that they were not identified as something specific. Are they extraterrestrial craft? And I guess we'd add to that, are they things that are conventional or something unconventional, whether extraterrestrial or something else? So what have you and your people learned?
Well, there's a couple things here. Again, because these were visually sighted as well as seen on instrumentation, and we know this because, of course, in the videos themselves, you can often see on-screen data about what was going on at the time. Some people were saying, well, you know, this somehow proves that it's real. And, of course, no one was ever really disputing that the videos were real. There's no reason to think they were faked. They're actually pretty mundane. I mean, frankly, I would be much more suspicious if there was some sort of really super dramatic, you know, something you would see in a sci-fi film. So they're actually fairly mundane. And so all that tells you, all the fact that they were seen both visually and on instrumentation tells you, it does tell you something. It tells you, for example, that the sightings were not hallucinations. They weren't visual illusions. It wasn't some sort of, mental problem. It actually was legitimately out there in the sky. The fact they appear on instrumentation also tells you that it wasn't just a computer glitch, right? Because computers glitch all the time. You know, there's anomalies on screens. There are all sorts of things like that. So the fact that they were both sighted visually and registered on instrumentation tells us that whatever they were, they actually were literally out there in the skies. Again, they weren't just someone's imagination. They weren't a hoax, and they weren't just a faulty computer glitch display. So there's basically three different videos, and they were known basically as there was a FLIR video, and this one probably shows a distant plane. It seems to be unusual because it seems to move at unusual speeds and angles, but this is actually a function of the camera, and you can tell this because in the FLIR video, for example, it doesn't move on screen; it only moves when the camera does. This is a strong clue that if you stabilize the camera, it's like, for example, you can look back at, for example, the 1967 Patterson-Gimlin film of the Bigfoot. People have stabilized the footage, and when you stabilize the creature moving in the famous Bigfoot film, you get a much better sense of whether it's moving like a human is in a costume or some other way. So the stabilization is an important part of the clue in terms of figuring out what's going on. So the FLIR video is probably just a low resolution image of a distant plane going away from the pilot. Then there's the gimbal video, and that's probably also a plane. And what makes it look unusual is that it appears to be rotating on screen. And again, this, if you take a close look at it, you see once again that it's basically an artifact of the camera. It would be bizarre, unusual, or extraterrestrial, if you will, if this entity, this flying entity, suddenly, for example, rotated in midair. That would defy physics. You know, for example, planes and helicopters and aircraft can't make a 90 degree turn. They just literally physically impossible. So if this thing that's seen on this gimbal video is making a 90 degree turn, for example, that would indicate that it must be something that is unknown, some unknown technology, for example, extraterrestrial craft. But in this case, the reason it's called the gimbal video is it's mounted on the gimbal system. And so the camera itself is rotating. And so what you see on the screen appears to the naked eye and just sort of superficial glance to be, oh, wow, this is weird. It's suddenly moving. Well, no, it's the gimbal system the camera is mounted on that's moving. The third video was what's called the go fast video. And this is probably a balloon seen from above. And once again, the video is deceiving. So these videos, they're not hoaxes. They're not frauds. They're not fakes. There's no one trying to pull a fast one. They're just videos that to the average person just sort of glancing at it and when seen in a particular light can appear to be mysterious. And so, for example, in the Go Fast video, you see this object from above, which is probably a weather balloon or another balloon, that seems to be moving quickly. But in fact, because of the parallax illusion, you can actually tell it's not moving that fast at all. So it's obviously hard to sort of describe in words these things. But if you look on Nick West's site Metabunk, there's really good, solid, detailed analyses of all three of these videos.
I have to agree with you on the videos that they alone certainly aren't that convincing. But one thing I do have to do is take some exception to the idea that the word UFO means the literal interpretation of the words that form the acronym. There's some really good reasons for saying that it means anything but some vague object in the sky that is simply unidentified. Specifically, the actual definitions of UFO by the U.S. Air Force, which is the department responsible for creating the term in the first place. So, I mean, we could really get into that. Because this idea that it's just simply some unidentified thing in the sky, that's a misrepresentation of the term.
Well, no, you can, well, I mean, you can define it however you want, but that's literally what the term means. And so,
Hang on. That's not literally what the term means. That's a misrepresentation of the term. If you go to the actual United States Air Force definitions, those are the people who created the term, then we can look at the definitions. We can't simply just make up definitions what we want it to be, just so that it suits our particular agenda. And I've heard skeptics do this a number of times. I've heard ufologists do this a number of times. I've heard news people do this a number of times. But none of them have actually gone to the source to look up the history to see how the definition itself evolved from the people who created the word. And when you do that, you get something completely different than this idea that it's just simply an unidentified flying object. We could say the same thing about radar. Radio detection and ranging. I mean, we don't detect radios out on the range. We don't define acronyms literally by the way they sound. They have very specific meanings.
Right. The mistake that you're making is that there's a common parlance and usage. So, for example, in the New York Times, they use the word UFO. The New York Times editorial policy probably isn't, and I'm an editor myself, but you're the New York Times is not necessarily adhering strictly to whatever definition the military has. So I don't disagree with you that the phrase UFO or the unidentified flying object may mean a specific thing in one particular context. But that doesn't mean that anybody that uses the term UFO, either in print or journalism or in blogs or wherever else, is using that term.
Oh, exactly. When we talk about something that you do advocate is critical thinking. And so when we talk about critical thinking, what we want to do is be precise with our terminology. And if we're going to look at a subject, then we ought to be as precise as we can be. And therefore, there's something to be said for looking into the actual history of the terms that we're using in order to describe what we're talking about. I'm pretty sure you would agree with that.
I totally agree with that. I mean, the objects that are seen in these videos are self-evidently flying.
More to come, I guess, about the definition of UFO. Ben and Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The mayor of Boston has declared racism a public health emergency, opening the door to making changes in police policy in the city.
There are other steps that we have to take in housing, in education, in economic development.
Also, police reform is coming to New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed sweeping legislation into law.
The community pays for the police department that they want. So what police department do you want?
Some states are seeing a spike in coronavirus cases. The CDC put out new guidelines. The nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says preventative measures work.
You can improve on the economy. You can get people back to work and still do the fundamental things like wearing a mask all the time when you're outside, of having this physical distance, of avoiding the congregation and crowds.
This is USA Radio News. President Trump has chosen to delay his rally in Oklahoma by one day. He says he wants to respect a holiday called Juneteenth, which is important to black Americans. More people are banning the Confederate flag after the riots in Minneapolis over the death of George Floyd. With more on this story, here's USA's John Hunt.
Amazon is reportedly removing the immensely popular 70s series The Dukes of Hazzard from its streaming library as it reviews its content offerings in the wake of racial tension. The TV series ran on CBS for 7 seasons, and it follows the adventures of Beau and Lou Duke, who create mischief in their fictitional small town of Hazzard County, Georgia. The show has been criticized over the years, especially for the boys' well-known car, the General Lee, which has a Confederate flag on the roof. The move would be in line with a recent decision made by HBO Max, which removed the Oscar-winning Civil War film Gone with the Wind from its library.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I'm not going to go into detail, but Randall and I have had this discussion about what a UFO is defined as. I'd like to move past that and have you two agree to disagree, because the most important thing here is what these photos represent. And pretty much like most UFO photos I've seen, and these are not atypical, you don't really see anything distinctive enough.
Right.
To get a gander of what's really going on.
Photos, sure. Yeah. There's that ambiguity that makes it so difficult and tantalizing and intriguing. I mean, if they were obviously something, then we would know what they were.
Yeah, maybe. We had a guest on, Gary Voorhees, who was a technician aboard one of the ships while these events were going down. And we talked to him about the idea that perhaps what they were detecting on their radar and even what was seen visually may have been some sort of advanced countermeasures system that they were testing in secret, highly classified, that even the people that were out chasing these supposed objects didn't know about. And he was saying that, you know, with the kind of radar spoofing that we've got at the military's disposal and the ability to create 3D shapes by optical means, whether it's there's a number of them, but there's holograms, but there's also other types. These could be simply some sort of advanced military illusion.
It's possible. Keep in mind, of course, that some of these videos recorded in 2004. So I'm not sure that there was the sort of holographic illusion technology that available at the time.
Well, yeah, we can't be sure. But what we do know is that they've been experimenting with fairly high-powered particle projectors since back in the 80s, out of the Starfire optical range, for example. And let's just say, you know, you give the military several $1 billion and 40 years to research something. I think it's within our means to probably be able to do something like that. And so, you know, my thumb is if we can do it, why should we jump to the conclusion that it's something extraterrestrial or off world?
Right. I would take the opposite tack. I would say that if what we see in these videos, or at least one of the videos, really is the product of $40 billion in high tech, it should be much more impressive.
Well, I mean, we have to take into account the rest of the circumstances around the case as well. Those videos themselves, like I said, yeah, I agree with you. They're fairly suspect, but there were radar returns as well as the pilots sighting these things visually while they're out in the air. And sure. So, you know, if you hear the report from, say, David Fravor, he seems very credible, and it doesn't sound like what he saw was anything that was vague or, you know, way off in the distance so that he couldn't make it out. He tried to chase the thing, and it zoomed past his aircraft. So it may have been a lot more impressive if you were there, as opposed to looking at these blurry videos that aren't taken in full optical and not at seemingly very high resolution.
Well, right. And you also have to wonder, keep in mind that these are the high profile videos, right? These are the ones that are making the front page of the New York Times. These are the big discussed ones. And my question is, this is the best there is. This is the most exciting, dramatic, hardest, most impressive evidence. These really mundane. I'm really disappointed in either the extraterrestrials or the government. If this is as impressive a UFO, whatever they may be, as they can muster.
We just go with the videos. Yes, I'm not even sure that we can be sure that those videos are definitely of the objects that were visually seen.
No, I agree. There's just too many unknowns. We know that they were sighted. We know that they appeared on instrumentation, including radar. Beyond that, could be something, could be nothing. I mean, it's unfortunately just more of the sort of same ambiguous evidence that plagues the whole field.
That, though, in itself is pretty interesting to me, because one would think that there should be more evidence. This it disturbs me because I am a believer. I use the word belief unashamedly, and I think we could get into that as well. But let's just say if we, for the sake of argument, assume that something beyond our mundane technology and our civilization, in our own civilization, is out there, is actually there. It's something real, something objective, it's something physical, and we don't know necessarily where it's from. It's alien to our civilization. Maybe it's from another solar system or planet or who knows where exactly, but let's just assume it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that by now we would have something more substantial, and yet we don't.
You raise an important point. I mean, you're exactly right. At the end of the day, either what people are reporting are genuinely extraterrestrial visitations, or again, whatever. As you know, there's many different theories and, you know, dimensions. I mean, all sorts of different, you know, paths you can go down. But at the end of the day, either these things are real and they are occurring in the present day, not just, you know, some weird, you know, report from 1950s, but they're happening in 2014, 2017. Something could be happening this very minute that while you and I are talking, and maybe we'll hear about it next week or whatever. if with all the technology and all the cell phone cameras and all the satellites in orbit and spy satellites, with all the things going out there, you have to wonder, where are they, right? Why aren't we seeing much more evidence?
Yeah, exactly. It's how might we explain that? Like, if we were to just take it for granted that, okay, that, yeah, something truly strange is going on, then why isn't there? What possible reasons could there be, for example?
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, and that's actually one of the common refrains, of course, from conspiracy theorists, right? Particularly with UFOs. The answer they provide is, well, there is evidence, but it is being hidden from us, right? There's evidence of the Roswell crash. There's evidence of alien bodies in Hangar 18, Area 51, in take your pick. So I mean that's part of their argument, is their claim. Their answer to you would be, what are you talking about? There's plenty, there's tons of evidence. It's just that we're not being allowed to see it because it's being hidden away by, generations of global, governments and militaries that are all colluding to keep these things secret. The other alternative is that these are not, that we are not in fact being visited, and these are not actually representations of extraterrestrial visitations, and they are instead misunderstandings, misidentifications, mistakes, in some cases hoaxes, and there's a lot of wiggle room there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we know that from the research that was done by the Air Force, and virtually anybody that takes this subject seriously enough to look into it knows that there, wiggle room is a very tactful way of putting it. But this kind of gets into the idea of proof. And, if you go back to the beginning with the report on unidentified flying objects by Ruppelt, who was one of the heads of Project Blue Book in the Air Force, he had this issue with proof. And how do you define it? For you, how do you define proof?
Well, it depends on the context, of course, and it also depends on the claim.
Before we define truth, and we're not talking about alternative facts here, we're talking about real facts, truth. Ben Radford, and he's a skeptic. He works with Skeptical Inquirer, and a really nice guy, as you notice. He's not an ideologue. He's trying to figure out what's going on with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
There is a what constitutes proof paragraph in Ruppelt's book, by the way. Anyway, let's talk about proof. I would think, as we progress with this, Ben, proof would be number one. It can't be anything else. There has to be evidence that we're dealing with technology that is really, really beyond what we could do, but not just because we see it. We can hold it in our hands. We have the photo that we don't have, which shows all this happening, and it's not Hollywood special effects or Vancouver special effects. There's trace evidence. And, of course, we had the late Ted Phillips and his trace evidence, but nothing that he produced indicated something beyond the norm that I could see. So that's a fast take on my end, Ben, of proof. You, of course, we can have Klaatu land.
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the problems that you guys are well aware of, and that we come across it when, you know, regardless of the specific topic, whether we're talking about lake monsters or ghosts or psychics or what have you, is that if these things were obvious, if they were self-evident, if we could go to a zoo in Toronto or Philadelphia or wherever and see a Bigfoot or a chupacabra, then we would all agree, like, oh, it's right there. It's you know, it's this tall, and this is what it eats, and this is when it sleeps, and blah, blah, blah. Same thing with ghosts, right? If we knew for a fact that ghosts existed, then we could go to a natural history museum or go to a science museum and walk into the ghost display. And here's the exhibits, and here's what we know about ghosts, and here's a photo of one, and this was studied by these people, and here's journal reports and studies and research, and here's a small ghost, and you know, say hi to it, right? And same thing with extraterrestrials and these other things. And so the problem is, of course, that we don't know for a fact that these things exist. So there is not universal consensus that these things exist at all. And even there's not even consensus on what these things are. I mean, as you guys know, there are many different ideas about what ghosts are, for example. Some people think they're spirits of the dead. Other people say they're mental projections. Other people think they're interdimensional. Some people think they're memories, the stone tape theory, the memories and emotions that were, you know, bleed into a battlefield, for example, or a haunted house, and then emerge. So if ghost hunters can't even agree on the basics, they can't even agree on the definition of what they're looking for, then you've got a serious fundamental problem. And you see the same problem in many different areas, including UFOs. And so because there is this lack of hard evidence, for whatever reason, and of course in each of these fields, you have people that are proffering hard evidence. So for example, with aliens, you had Roger Lear, the podiatrist, I interviewed him many years ago at the Roswell Festival, in fact, who claimed to have removed alien implants from several patients. And he was nice, very nice guy. I saw his talk and talked to him, this and that. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, you just got done, spending 40 minutes telling us these stories and these different people and all the implants. I said, where are they? You said you had these in your possession and you're sure that they're extraterrestrial and they couldn't be found on Earth. Where are they? And it's always some excuse. Well, it got lost in the mail. Which has always been one of the most ridiculous. I think, really, you have physical evidence, what you believe is truly the first evidence that there's extraterrestrials, and you put it in the mail and it got lost, and that's so it's just frustrating. And again, I don't think it was lying, I don't think it was hoaxing. It's just this sort of it was just so frustrating trying to get good evidence out of him. And so, unfortunately, in all these cases, because we don't have hard evidence, because again, if we had hard evidence, then we would all agree. We'd all say, yep, you're right, this is this. So instead, what we have is ambiguous evidence. We have eyewitness accounts. We have blurry photographs. We have the U.S. Navy videos. We have somebody going into a location, a ghost hunter, for example, and getting a cold feeling or fear or something. And the problem, of course, is that to scientists, this isn't evidence. It doesn't mean they're lying. It doesn't mean they're hoaxing. It doesn't mean they're making it up. It just means that blurry photographs and weird feelings and sightings of something in the sky or something in a lake or in the woods at a distance aren't good evidence.
You know, these particular issues might seem academic or unimportant, but I tend to think that they speak to the core of our understanding. And unless we as critical thinkers can get on the same page with these ideas and concepts, we'll never get past this us versus them sentiment between those of us who are trying to figure out what is really going on. Well, I would assume at least that's what we should be trying to do. And so, you know, so when we say, okay, well, you know, what is a UFO? What is a person who, or a ghost? I mean, that's a really valid point. One of the things I've done is to try to answer those questions, say, is it even possible for there to be a person who survives the death of their body? And that to me is kind of at the core of critical thinking. For proof, I would say proof is evidence that is sufficient to justify belief in a claim. But that evidence can be different between different people, so it's rather subjective. Some people require more evidence or less evidence or different kinds of evidence, but once they've got enough that they believe it, that's proof for them.
And that's fine. I mean, you know, I've been doing these investigations for 15, 18 years now, and you know, I routinely interview people who have some firm belief in some event that they witnessed. They will look me in the eye and say, I know for a fact ghosts exist because I saw one. I know for a fact that UFOs exist because, 10 years ago I was out hiking with somebody and it was getting dusk and this thing flew over me. And I have a degree in psychology and I use it a lot in my dealings with people. And my response is always, I don't disbelieve you. I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. I wasn't there. Help me understand what your experience was. But one thing that I've often found, and this sort of goes back to your question, is that oftentimes skeptics in general are accused of being closed-minded. They're saying, well, you know, you wouldn't believe anything, and, you know, you're just saying, like, no, I'm not saying that these things don't exist. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying I need evidence. I'm open to the possibility that it's there. But what I often encounter, not always, I don't want to paint a broad brush here, but I often encounter people who, again, if they tell me, I know for a fact that Bigfoot exists, or I know for a fact that aliens exist, or ghosts, whoever else, then I say, well, but who's being closed-minded here? Because I'm not saying that ghosts don't exist. I'm not saying you didn't see a ghost. I'm just looking for alternative explanations. But if you come to me and you say, that I know for a fact, that means that there's no evidence, there's no arguments, there's no investigation that I could do that would make you change your mind. You've locked onto your interpretation. This must have been a ghost. I know for a fact I was there. You weren't there. You don't know. And they've locked in. And it seems to me that's really a sign of being closed-minded because they're not open to the possibility that they're wrong or mistaken.
How do we get past that? Because, you know, I've run into that very same situation, and I've really had to learn to try to be more what they call emotionally intelligent with people, because as soon as you say to people who aren't used to this sort of a discussion like the kind that we're having now, that it's not meant to be confrontational. It's just meant to discuss differing points of view and try to come to a common understanding that can move us ahead in our understanding. They will get defensive and then they just shut down and you can't make any progress with them. Like, how can we overcome that, do you think?
Well, you know, that's a thing that we struggle with as skeptical investigators. I mean, not that there's a whole bunch of us, there's maybe a dozen or so sort of doing this, for a long period of time. Anyway, I mean, this is always the problem, right? And so I can tell you my approach, and my approach is diplomacy. And again, part of that goes back to my background in psychology, and I know how easy it is for people to be mistaken and fooled and have misperceptions, including me, especially me. Humans, we all do it, and we don't realize how often we do it. And this is well known to psychologists, to police detectives, the idea that people can misperceive things or misremember things, or even if they correctly perceive and remember something, maybe they might explain it well to an investigator or write it down correctly. There's so many different stages that all have to be aligned between an eyewitness to an event and a later translation of that event, either a depiction, a reenactment, a description, whatever it is. There are lots of things that all have to be aligned. It's like a game of telephone. And that doesn't mean that doesn't mean there's anybody intentionally lying or faking or hoaxing. It just means that that's how our human minds work. And there's so many opportunities for these sorts of things. And so my approach is when I interview somebody and I say, you know, you presented me with this thing that you experienced, and I'm genuinely trying to understand. I'm not coming in here, you know, saying you're stupid, you're crazy, this is all BS. No, I'm saying, this is interesting. You clearly believe this happened. And in my investigations, in my experience, I've encountered very few hoaxers and frauds.
This is not a hoax or a fraud either, but we'd like you to listen. Right. More to come with Gene and Ben and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.